Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another Late Mail Crew Teamless Tuesday. Paulie, how you doing, mate?
Good, mate. Apologies in advance. I'm actually on the road, but it was a very late finish at work. Today, we've obviously had some issues in headquarters, so we're doing our best.
Yeah. Well, let's get stuck into this afternoon. Obviously, Paul, you've had your show today. You've kind of gone through some of this teamless stuff. And look, there's a few, let's say, key takeaways. I don't know if they're really that important, but there's a few things just want to kind of quickly touch on from Teamless Tuesday. And then there's going to be some points that you and I are going to have to kind of discuss and break down. So, some of the key takeaways. Now, the Tigers are throwing up some curlies very early in the season. We've got Galvin starting at halfback, and we've got Fatape. Is that how you say his name, Paulie?
Yeah.
Yep. Fatape at centre, and we've also got Seafarth at lock. In terms of the Dolphins have thrown up a few bits and pieces as well, but probably not worth touching anything, given that they have a bye next week, so look and see. Rapana has retained the fullback spot with Chris coming returning, which is interesting. A lot of people were hoping for Laban to appear for the Warriors, but they didn't get that. Apparently, all those people that got injured last week are actually fit and available. Surprisingly, there is no big changes for the Dogs with Connor Tracy coming in on the wing for Josh Adokar. The Dragons actually have some relevant middles, Paulie. How crazy is that?
Yeah, unknown quantities.
Like, the last thing I thought we would be doing is talking about how Dragons have an abundance of mids available and possibly Tom Eisenhuth as a genuine cash cow.
Yeah, and we should mention Talis Duncan for Souths. No new contract for Raiders.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, those West Tigers, quite a few. So we've It's a lot of interesting names for Teamless Tuesday. And, yeah, Luciano Leilua on the bench for the Dragons pretty much eliminates all your cash cows except for Jacob Little. But even Little, I'd be a little nervy I'm not sure. Like, remember last year, Reed Marnie had that big round one and then didn't really replicate it. So I think Little, you know, is probably a stronger tackler than Marnie, but I'd still be a bit nervous about. I think no matter what you do this week, you're going to be doing it without too much confidence. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to talk like a little bit about Jai Arrow, Talis Duncan situation. Now, the situation there is that Jai Arrow is at this stage out for 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
But possibly, depending on how it all goes, possibly could be out for longer if surgery is required afterwards.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Is what NRL Physio wrote. So,
oh, okay.
Someone like Talis Duncan, he could have 4 weeks in the starting side, or he could potentially have the rest of the season.
Well, he's a talent, and he'll probably share that edge with Cam Murray. I reckon that Souths will do what the Roosters did in round one in Vegas, where they put Radley on the edge in defence.
Yeah.
So I think that's how Souths will manage that. And then you'll have Talis Duncan share that edge with Murray. So look, I think that Talis Duncan's a great pickup, to be honest. I think there's a lot of upside and it's worth the risk. But it's just going to come down to the big question that Luke said on the live show earlier today is, would you be willing to make a trade at all this round? Because any trade you make now is one less trade that you have at the end, which you're going to get a lot more reward out of it later on because there's a lot more known, you know, quantities at the later stage of the season. So that's probably the bigger question than is Talis Duncan a good pickup? Is it a good idea to make trades in round one?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what we're going to keep coming back to a lot throughout what we're going to talk about. Now, Paulie, first thing I want to do, I want to talk about the Tigers. Now, essentially for the Tigers, this is their round one team, so we haven't seen, this is our first look at them. We've got nothing else to go off. Geez, there's been some interesting things thrown up.
The Tigers, unfortunately for me, are probably not going to have a very good year, which means that they're probably going to be chopping and changing their lineups a lot, which means that any player that you pick up is going to have a large risk attributed to it. Now, I've got some friends, and admittedly, they are West Tigers fans, so they've probably made decisions based on heart. They already have Galvin.
Yep.
So if you already got him in round one and played him as a red dot in round one, then you're probably feeling pretty good right now, because I believe at halfback, I believe he'll do most of the kicking, which will give him some extra points. I think he'll be a point man. Sullivan's not a number seven as such, or not that we've seen in his days with the Dragons. Caesar is lurking on the bench, however, and they could even make that adjustment before kickoff.
The fact that Caesar's lurking on the bench is a really weird thing, because you're talking about people carrying Galvin. People also carried Coruscant. Now, with Caesar being on the bench, I only see Caesar coming on and playing half, which means Sullivan has to move into that hooking rotation, right?
I don't think we can dare guess what Benji Marshall's going to do, because we don't have any way of knowing. He's never coached before. So, unfortunately, we are flying blind with the West Tigers. But what we do know is that whatever we think will probably be wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other one out of the Tigers that I think is worth talking about, I'll come back to Faatape in a second, but I do want to talk about Seifarth, because he's got that really nice price. If he was in a round one team last week, most of us would probably have picked him up at his price, starting at lock.
Yep, I think so. And I think that the big issue again is just, will he still have it come kickoff? Will he still have it next week?
Yeah.
So realistically, again, much like the other West Tigers, if you took a chance and brought him in last week, well, kudos to you. But are you really going to use two trades on these guys? Like, they're probably they're two-time wooden spooners. Like, we haven't seen a team this bad since the Knights in the mid-2010s. Like, they are that bad. So are we really going to do that to ourselves? I mean, it's hard enough as it is. Fantasy this year is a nightmare. Are we going to go through that?
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think that's something that's definitely worth avoiding. And the reason that we're talking about this as being someone that you could avoid, particularly with Faatape, is you almost have to avoid him.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is, Tim, he's the most talented of the lot.
Yeah,
just from a pure just looking at it to make some quick to have some good fantasy scores, not long term, whatever, but just right out of the gate, this guy could turn up and get 50s because he's a good tackle buster. He's got a good offload. He can score tries.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot to like about him, but again, if you don't have any, like, you have to watch him first. Like, he's 230, right? Like, I don't even know if he's in. Hopefully, he's in the game by now, or he'll be by the time you're listening.
Yep.
But he'll be the minimum, right? Because he hasn't played before, so that gives us time to say, let's just have a look and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with the Tigers. Can they have some sort of upset win? That, you know, like the Raiders themselves did to Newcastle last week, like the Sharks did over in New Zealand. Like, maybe that encourages Benji to pick and stick for a bit longer. But you can't, there's no point running out and getting ties this week. This is the week to just see what happens and know that whoever goes well for them will still be affordable next week.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think with someone like Faatape is that you've also got Olam, who's out injured, who has to come back into that team. We know that the Tigers seem to like Brent Naden, so he's someone that has to come back into that team as well. So there's a couple of guys, and even is it Lib or Lob that's in the reserves? I know that the Tigers are quite high on him as well.
Yeah, he played well in the preseason as well. I don't really know how Lob fits in. I don't unless there's something adjusted there with the top 30. But I didn't know if he was in the top 30 unless something has changed since, you know, I haven't looked at it in the last couple of weeks. Yep. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that he's probably someone that's only going to get a shot if he gets special discompensation. Yeah, but he looks like a player of the future.
Too. Yeah, that's my thinking too. But yeah, that was the thing, is he does look like that player of a future. Talking about these sort of cheapies, Paulie, I guess that I do want to kind of touch on trading out underperforming cash cow cheapies. Now,
we've
already touched on it, and you and Luke touched on it in your show. If you've got a green dot, don't trade them, right? Let's throw all that out the window.
I don't know where we landed on that. I don't think we landed on Luke. I think Luke said he's loath to do green dots, but I don't think when it was all said and done that he said no to all green dots. I think he did want to trade a few of them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking, and particularly with a couple of these underperforming cash cows. Now, I want to talk about Chan and Keeney, particularly, Paulie.
Yeah.
I've had this discussion with a couple of different people. I think that there's a fairly solid case that both of these are trade-outs this week. Now, when I had a chat with Scotty about this afternoon, his thought was that Keeney in particular, why would you train him out? You can use him as a looper. And yeah,
I'm probably leaning with Scott on that one. I'm not really thinking that Keeney does much for you trading him out this week. Like, we don't know if he's going to get named next week. We don't. He hasn't made you any money. He wasn't very expensive to begin with, so he's not costing you much money. Like, really, if you trade him out now, all you're doing is admitting defeat.
Yeah. And so this is my other side of that. My thinking around Keeney is that we brought him in for a specific reason, to make fast cash. And by getting that score that he got, he's reduced that ability to make fast cash.
Well, it just comes down what your value is on a trade, Tim. Like, for me, my value on a trade is much higher to keep that trade than to say, oh, I made a mistake. Keeney didn't get as many as I thought he would against the Dragons, so I'm just going to reverse course in one round. Like, I just don't see – I can't agree with you on that one. Sorry, mate.
So, yeah, and that's cool. So – what does Keeney have to make him worth a trade now, is my question.
Well, there's nothing he can do. If you went and got Keeney, which a lot of people did, and we all knew it was a risk because we were worried about how many weeks and the round two bye, but we were also worried, rightly so, about a lot of these other guys. So I think at least Keeney we had seen before and he'd done some good things.
Yeah.
There was some hope. And we would have thought that Dragons matchup would have been good enough.
Yeah.
So now you're just hoping that the next game things improve. We don't know what's going to happen with the Titans back line. They have some depth. They have guys like Fafita. Obviously, Campbell's injured at the moment. He's due to come back. So Keeney, will he continue to get a spot in first grade? Well, that's a wait and see. But it's going to be very, very hard to justify trading him out this early on. You're probably holding him through to when the three trade thing comes up, I would imagine. That's probably when you're then starting to think about, okay, well, you know, this guy hasn't played since round one, which could happen, right? This guy might not play again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of sick of, like, not making any money, got a red dot, so... Unless you're just absolutely loaded, no one is this week, but maybe there's another round where you just feel really good about your 20 other 20 players and you just think, oh, I'll just make that move. But, yeah, it's not good because you You can't go anywhere with him.
Yeah. See, I'm just spitballing here more than anything, because I'm thinking that there's, if you look at someone like a Talau, now Talau's got, he's more locked into the team. He doesn't have that bye in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Going Keeney to Talau, what it's you're doing
another, there, it's just another trade you're going to have to use later.
Yeah.
Like, it's just another trade where you're going to be down on everyone else because you'll make, like, if Talau was playing in round one, you could justify it. Oh, well, I like Talau this year.
But yeah.
He wasn't. So now you got to use a trade to get a guy. You don't even know what's going to happen. You don't know how long he's going to be there for. You don't know if he's going to be any good. It's not mm-hmm. a guy with pedigree. This guy has reverse pedigree. He gets opportunity and still sticks it up. So, you know, like, it's just, no matter what, you're trading out Tommy Talau. So if you trade him in this week, you're trading him out. Whether it's the week after, 2 weeks after, whatever, you are going to trade him out. You're not, there's no other way about it. So to me, you just, at some point, you're just going to say, these are the choices I made. I mean, it's 1 week, Tim. There's no need to panic.
Mm. The other one in that category of underperforming cash cow is Joe Chan. And I think his underperforming is linked to his halves partner rather than him.
Hard to say. 60-something minutes, 26. It's not the worst. Obviously, the big upgrade, last-minute upgrade, you know, helped. Basically, got 50% more on his score.
Yeah.
Look, no Munsters, not ideal, but... You can't drop him. You can't drop him. You just got to hope he's been named to start again. There's worse problems than Joe Chan, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, in many years, Joe Chan's the biggest problem you'd have. But this year, he's like number eight.
Yeah, so they're probably the top two underperforming cash cows. There's a couple of other guys that didn't get named, like a Kotrick or that sort of stuff.
Kotrick's a better one to bring up, because now you're stuck with a guy who might not play a lot of first grade.
Yeah.
See, people got him because they thought he'll be in the team, you know, for the whole year. He'll beat out Savage. He'll beat out Hopewadi, but he hasn't.
Yeah.
So now the question is, are you going to hold this guy who's just going to sit there in 21? And, that's a bigger blow, I think, people that went down that road of thinking that they were trying to be a bit too clever by half.
Yeah. And
Jamin Salmon's another one you should bring up too.
See, I reckon you've got to hold on to him. I think the fact that he's named and everything like that, you've just got to trust the process there with him because, realistically, for the Dogs, they played 70 minutes of that game at 30% with 30% of the ball. It really wasn't
Salmon was playing well, and then obviously with the injury to Addo Carr, well, they'd already made a move for him to go to the edge, which was interesting enough because Kickout went off
mm-hmm.
in the first half, which was a planned move, to say planned move might be not entirely accurate, but it wasn't because of a HIA, as far as I'm aware, unless I missed that, I was at the ground, so maybe I missed something there, but it looked like he went off and then Salmon was on the edge, and then when Addo Carr went off, Salmon was in the centres. Now, Salmon, I don't know, like, if you could look much worse than he looked in the centres. So, fingers crossed goes back to lock, and fingers crossed he goes back to lock, and he starts playing like he did in that first sort of 25 minutes where he was racking up quite a few tackles. Obviously, he was being that link man. And he was probably on set. He was probably set up to get a 40, to be honest, which would have been nice at his price.
Yeah. I think you have to trust the process on that one. And there's a few others in there that I think you've just got to trust the process, keep the faith, let it ride. Let's talk about trading out an underperforming mid-ranger. So these are guys we kind of tipped to make 100, 150K. Looking at someone like a Satili Tupanua, I know a few people had Jason Tomalolo. There's probably a few more that I could come up with off the top, if I needed to come off the top of my head. But they're a really, really tricky position, these guys. So they've got a negative. Most of these guys have got a high break even. They're probably going to lose cash again this week. Do you trade out these guys?
Yeah, it's a bigger question because, well, and Luke and I were kind of probably in disagreement. The question is going to be this season with everyone either priced at their kind of expectations or priced above, how much money are people actually going to make throughout the year? And at what point do you put more emphasis on getting some decent scorers in, even if they're not cash cows? That's the big question. So do you go that way or do you just say, no, I'm sticking to it. I'm just going to keep picking up these cheapies, keep hoping they'll make some money. I'll eventually hit on the right grouping and I'm not going to go with these guys in the middle that could get me 40s or 50s. Like, that's not good enough. I need more, sort of thing. So that's really what it's going to come down to because, you know, if people this week just gone were happy with Cotter's score, happy with, you know, a Flegler, let's say, but he did quite well, and a few others in that sort of mid-range, you know, Brandon Smith, they would have scored a lot better than the average sort of regular score this round. But they wouldn't have any cash gen. Because everyone's getting around that mark.
Yeah. And so I wanted basically, I've gone through Paulie and I went and had a look at who are some of those. If you're set on trading out a mid cashy, I wanted to have a look at what some of those options were. I started doing it and I had to take my shoes off so I could count on my toes. And like, just some of those options that, if you're looking to try and pick up a mid-range cashy, you've got Morgan Smithies, you've got Kai Pierce-Paul, you've got Tom Flegler, you've got Tom Eisenhuth, you've got Jacob Saifidi. Now, Jacob Saifidi got a 50 from 50 minutes. You've got Brandon Smith, you've got Terrell May, you've got Josh Wong, you've got Alex Seyfarth, you've got Talis Duncan, and you've got Max Plath. Like, there is that many options around that. Seyfarth is probably the cheapest of that lot at 360, but most of these guys are between 400 and 530.
I think the big thing for people looking to move on will be whether they dump someone in that higher end and one of their cheapies that didn't work out for a couple of those mid-priced guys, and maybe they're trying to rework their team a little bit to be less guns and cheapies and more middle of the road.
Yeah.
That would probably be how I'd do it. I don't think I'd be going sideways. I don't think that I'm not really thinking that Tupanua is a sell, even though he might not play. Piakura is definitely not a sell, even if he doesn't play.
Piakura, so, we've seen him for well before, so you have to ride that one.
Yeah, well, I think just with anyone, like if you've made that, like why did you pick him up in round one? Like, what was you thinking? Like, you know, is it that ad hoc that, oh, I don't know, I just threw a dart at the board and now I want to throw a dart at a different board? Like, you know, that's fine. If that's the way you like to play fantasy and use all your trades, go for it. And you might have a really fun week because you might hit on the right guy. But, you know, if you're planning to sort of do as well as you can and be there at the business end of the season, you just got to save trades unless you absolutely have to use them. And the guys that you're looking to pick up, like you said, Max Plath. Now, that is a guy, if he actually gets that lock position, like he actually gets big minutes, he could turn into a bit of a cash cow. So, and Talis Duncan, I think, is another one that definitely has the talent to be a cash cow.
And like Terrell May, if Terrell May is hitting scores of 55 every week, you almost want him in your team.
Well, like I said, the people that got him last week or last round, they'll be happy because he's priced correctly. So he's getting some good scores, but his price is not
running away because he was priced high from last year.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You could go and get yourself a Terrell May and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to get, I got, you know, name, look at Mitch Moses, for example.
Yeah.
He suffered an injury. Maybe someone thinks, you know what? I don't want to risk it. He could be still injured, playing hurt. He'll play through this, but the next 3 weeks, he could just score rubbish and I'm going to lose 100K. Alternatively, I could go Moses and your man, Kinney, and together that's $1 million. And I could get two of these guys for under 500 or around that 500.
Yeah.
And then I've got a lot more depth in my squad overall. And I've got two guys who might actually improve on price as well. If everything goes well. But if it doesn't, I'm still going to get a decent score. Like a Terrell May getting a 35. Like the question is, what are you going to be happy with some of these guys?
Yeah.
Are you going to cop a Terrell May 29 because he doesn't play that many minutes because the Roosters are jam-packed in their forwards and his PPMs, which have been really good, it's just slightly less because it's just the game script didn't suit it when he was on the park. If you're happy with that, if you're happy, you know what? Terrell May's pumping out some great PPMs. I'm just going to go get him. And then I know that I don't have to be, you know, like have non-buyer's remorse. But don't think he's going to smash out like 1.25 PPMs every week at some ridiculous amount of minutes. It's the same with Cameron McInnes. People bringing him in, oh, well, that's not good enough. Or Adam Elliott. Well, what did you expect? Like, it's just... Yeah. At some point, you got to be happy that these guys are still putting up numbers. Ruben Cotter.
Yep.
You know, that they're putting up numbers that aren't horrific.
No.
Because they're really not your 40s and 50s for a mid. Like, that's pretty much what happens. That's pretty much how it goes, unless you're a Payne Haas or an Isaiah O.
Yep. Now, of those mids and edges, Paulie, that I just kind of read out before, if you had to pick one that you were like, yep, they're a really good get, if I could, I would definitely get them this week. Have you got one of those guys that you definitely would try and get?
Well, I always go on talent, Tim, because talent gives you more ways to success. So Talis Duncan's the top of the list because the guy's got a lot of ability.
Yep.
And there's lots of ways that he could be a could work out really well. Now, there's still a big risk. I mean, like you said, Arrow could come back.
Yeah.
And then he's back to the bench. So you're banking on that talent that Dimitro won't be able to ignore it. And, you know, I'm kind of kicking myself. I went against it with Galvin because I actually was pretty keen on picking Galvin last week before the lockout. And the reason why was just because he's a really good talent. And, of course, it's worked out that he won the role. Halfback. So the talent wasn't just seen by me and ignored by everyone else. It was seen by the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So I think you're sort of hoping with Souths is that this guy's just so good that no matter who's injured, who's not injured, whoever they want to play, he'll be in an integral role, whether it's starting, whether it's on the bench, whether it's middle, whether it's edge. He'll be involved. He'll get enough minutes to be relevant, and while he's on, he'll be actually doing a lot with that time, which is, you know, what I think the biggest mistake people made in round one, myself included, was picking guys just because they were going to be on the field, but not really for what they can do when they're on the field.
Yeah, 100%. I have one guy, Paulie. Similar sort of thinking around exactly what you had. And I think from the evidence we've seen so far, I really think he is one that you have to almost, I think you've got to figure out a way to get him in. And that's Kai Pierce-Paul.
Yeah, Jed Cartwright scares me on the bench, but the guy's got a lot of talent. It's just, what do you think Adam O'Brien's going to do with that split?
Mate, I think there is a chance that Kai Pierce-Paul gets a 60 to 80 minute role this week.
Yeah, I just don't see that, eh?
I don't think.
I don't see where, like, Tyson Frizzell isn't coming off.
No.
They've got the Safidi boys, Leo Thompson, Adam Elliott, all play big minutes.
Jed could just nearly be sitting on that bench as 17th man and not even come on the field. He could purely be there as middle and outside back, or edge and outside back cover if there's an injury.
There's got to be a reason why Pierce Paul didn't just start the year at edge. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Why is he not just playing already? Because when he's on the field, he looks really good.
Yeah.
So what's the go? What's going on there? Why is Jed Cartwright coming into the side?
Yeah.
Because because I thought maybe it's just Dylan Lucas. Lucas was playing that well last year, that well in the preseason, that O'Brien was forced to a scenario where he couldn't drop his incumbent.
Yeah.
So he was just going to play them both 40 minutes each.
But I think
that's the guess.
Yeah, and that's where I think with talent, it's that same argument around talent. I think he's someone that I would be looking at because I think his ceiling is that 60-minute edge back rower if he's getting 80 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just don't know. And look, when the he was priced for his Super League output.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is what he did in the Super League. It's not like Bateman a few years ago where he was probably dramatically underpriced.
Yeah.
He's priced to what he was getting
mm-hmm.
in the Super League fantasy arena. So I don't know. I just – something suggests to me that there's an issue with it. But, look, the way things are going, you could get him, he could only play 40 minutes and he could still score better than Tupanua does in 80. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. A couple other guys quickly want to touch on. Some outside backs that I think are worth mentioning. Jordan Rapana, now that he is in, looks to have that fullback jersey permanently, he's tempting. Taylor May.
I'd much rather Taylor May. Rapana scored his try on the wing. So, obviously, Ricky's going to move Savage and Rapana around.
Yeah.
Like, I think which is what the Dragons might do with Lomax. Like, I know they talked about it. I don't know if they actually did that, though. But, certainly the Raiders did it. And Rapana's try, funnily enough, came when he was on the wings. So, he would have got a much lower score. Look, if you got Rapana, you're happy. He bailed you out with that try and he's still at fullback. Yep. So you're probably just, you're probably buying a lotto ticket, to be honest, but you're also probably riding that wave.
Yeah.
But for me, Taylor May looked incredible again. And he already did that in the World Club Challenge. So it's not like, and this is remarkable because the guy was out all last year. Usually they took it, 2 years, you got to wait 2 years to come back and really have, this is incredible. So whether it's just the way Penrith play and that left centre, like something about it, I don't know. Yeah. But far out, I don't like spending up on centres too early in the season. I do like to at some point. I've kind of picked my moment where I go, right, it's time. I've got enough money now. It's time to get a gun centre so I don't keep scoring 20s in this crucial position. But round two is a very early one. Me to make that move, personally.
He's 627K.
Yeah, so he could get to 700. Yep. But he's probably most of those centers are capping out around that 700 range. Gagai was a bit higher. Valentine Holmes is definitely heading that way. It's a lot of money. And he's dual position. If you like him, I wouldn't say no because the guy looks really good. Yeah. Passes the eye test as long as he likes to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Another outside back that I think is worth mentioning is Taulagi. Given that did he end up getting a try? Yeah, he got one try. And even things like only, like he still ran for 178 metres. So he's someone that I think you could look at, but probably I wouldn't touch at this point in time. And then you've also got a couple of guys like Little and Mitch Kenny, those guys in that just under that 500k price range for hooker.
Yeah, I think Little was quite a bit over that now.
He's over that now, yeah. Oh, that's right. He's up to 571.
He's 536, but yeah. He got a big price rise. See, he got adjusted to 68. He had 58, and then they adjusted it to 68. So he's really, I'm worried that there's going to be a bit of Reed Marnie here, where he starts fast and then he drops back to the field, and he ends up around that 600 anyway. But look, I like Little. I had him in all my teams until literally that Saturday morning. I woke up and I decided I really wanted some more Eels players, and Little was my casualty. So I'm kind of kicking myself over that. But in saying that, I'm not sure he's a trade in this week. I don't think he's the worst, but yeah, I think he'll have another good game. But I do think that, you know, we might see him sort of peak early, shall we say.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and welcome in Lenty. Hey, Lenty, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good, mate.
I think you've joined us at the right time, mate, because let's talk about Mitch Moses.
Oh, Mitchy. Yeah, he was doing so well, and then the groin.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
What's your feeling on trading out guns like a Mitch Moses or a Cam McInnes or these sort of guys that we know have the ability to score really well? What's your thoughts on trading them out this week?
No, I think you've got to hold. I think we don't want to panic trade this early in the season. You'll end up running out of trades. We know how crucial they can be towards the back end of the season over the bye rounds and everything. So, like you said, we know what they've done in the past. We know what they can do. Was it just an off week that, yeah, Fitzy mucking around with minutes for McInnes? Moses in the groin didn't help. He didn't goal kick. So, I mean, he seemed to have pulled up all right this week because he was straight in. So, I think, yeah, you got to hold him, I think. You don't want to be panic trading too much.
Paulie, is that your same thought? All those guns, hold them? Or is there a gun that you think you need to jump off?
Yeah, mate, I agree with Lenny. I think Luke and I came to the conclusion, if we hear that Moses won't be goal kicking on Friday night, then maybe you can jump off to Fogarty, who plays the next day. Other than that, I think you've probably got to wait another week, I think, before you start panicking. And there's too many guys that these players, like, they can go real well any week, and that's what bumps up their averages, right? They're like cricketers, yeah. They score a big ton. And that's what makes their averages look so good. So any one of those big names could be the one that gets an 80 or 90 this week. And, yeah, you'd hate it if it was your one, but you got rid of him because he underwhelmed last round.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about someone like I just want to talk about Ryan Pappenhausen really quickly. I know he's not priced at a gun, but we've seen him perform as a gun in the past. I think you have to keep him as well because he's shown that he can be gun level. So I think he's someone you just have to stick with.
Well, he was a trap, and he was a trap that people didn't want to risk missing out on, so everyone just followed the leader. But unfortunately, with tough rounds to begin. We know fullbacks, since the tackle busts went down from 3 to 2, have found it much harder to get a nice base score. We also knew with Pappenhausen, even in his heydays, he struggled to get consistently good scores. His floor and ceiling were quite wildly apart. Mm-hmm. And they've got a bye in round 4. So now you're just going to leak cash. I don't see him turning it around, particularly without Cameron Munster there against the Warriors. I don't think that you're going to see any benefit, but trading out this early, I just think, no, I don't think anyone's going to do it. So I think we're just going to have to ride that wave and hope. He actually looked all right during that game.
Yeah.
Like he actually played quite well.
Yeah.
So we're just going to hope that it translates. But it's just a shame with the fantasy these days for fullbacks. It's much harder. It's much they can look really good and you can still go, oh, it's at 30.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And Lenti, what about you? Because you own Pappenhausen too, don't you?
I do own Pappenhausen, yeah.
Is he a trade target for you, trade out target for you this week?
No, we know what the Panthers can do to a fullback. It wasn't really out of the ordinary for someone playing against the Panthers. And like you said, he looked really good. He looked confident. He was moving well. So they got a bit of a mixed draw. Like they got the Warriors this week and then the Knights. And then, like Paulie said, into a bye. So he could score right this week and then. I mean, if the Knights put out another terrible performance, he could go gangbusters and win round three.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think same thing. You're going to have to give it another week or two, leading into his bye because, yeah, like Paulie said earlier, if he pops off this week for some reason and gets a 60-70 and you've traded him out for someone that scores half that, you're going to be kicking yourself. So, yeah.
Yep. Save your trades.
That's yep. it.
Yep. That's basically the main thing, guys. Save your trades. There's not too much else that you can do. Like, I know we've talked a lot and we've spitballed a lot of stuff here, but at the end of the day, the recommendation, wherever possible, is save trades. We know how valuable they are at the back end of the season.
Yeah, we know how valuable cash generation is as well, but I don't know, like Paulie said and with Lukey on the NRL fantasy video today, cash generation may not be that important this year. It may just be getting the points on the board. So, I mean, it's going to be, after one round. I mean, it is just one round, but it's going to have a bit of a different outlook, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tupanua, there's Max Plath plays after Tupanua, so make sure Tupanua was in your bench. And then you might be able to make that move. He's a late withdrawal. And Moses, as we said, to Fogarty, if Moses were here, he's not going to be kicking in that game against Penrith.
Yeah.
Other than that, just hold on for the ride and hope for the best.
Yeah. All right, guys. There is not too much else that I can see, Paulie, unless there's something that I've completely forgotten out from this show.
No, all good. It was a good chat. Thanks, mate.
All right. Let's wrap that up and let's call that a night. Thanks, guys, for joining me. See you next week. Bye for now.